Political lines are changing as states across the country redraw their congressional maps, a process with huge implications for the balance of power in Washington. Lisa Desjardins has more.
The congressional redistricting process that takes place every 10 years is in full swing, and the stakes are even higher than usual because the margins in Congress are so tight. Democrats control the House of Representatives by just 3 seats. Due to population changes, this year, 6 states, most in the South, gained a congressional district, with Texas adding 2 more seats. In turn, 7 states, largely in the Rust Belt, will be losing a seat. Adding to that drama, consider these maps are being made in a pandemic and amidst razor-sharp political divide. To dive in, I'm joined by 2 redistricting heavyweights, David Wasserman of the Cook Political Report and Colby Ikowitz of the Washington Post. Let me just start by setting the table for the 2 of you. In just a few words, can you describe this redistricting process right now, David?
It's an arms race, and Republicans have an upper hand in it. They're likely to benefit in terms of seats by a modest amount. But the biggest victim in all of this gerrymandering is competition. We're likely to see the number of competitive seats in the House reduced by as much as a third.
And Colby?
I would add to that, disappointing for voting rights advocates, for voters who over the last decade had approved ballot initiatives by huge margins, asking for politics and partisanship to be taken out of this process. And in so many states, it still remains to be the case that politicians are drawing lines and choosing voters instead of voters choosing them.
Okay, let's dive in first with the where. Looking at some of the maps, we've picked 2 illustrative states, and we're going to start with Illinois first of all. Here is what the state congressional maps look like before they are changed. You see red and blue divide, red Republican, blue for the Democrats, and of course yellow for competitive states. Then here is the new map as it stands right now. You see a change with that more blue growing and that new blue district through the middle in the bottom. David, what's going on in Illinois?
This is a pretty aggressive Democratic gerrymander. And currently, Illinois' 13 Republicans and 5 Democrats. Governor J.B. Pritzker just signed a map into law that aims to give Democrats 14 seats to just 3 for Republicans. Now, of course, just because you draw a map doesn't mean you automatically win the seats. Democrats could still see a couple of districts backfire on them if they have a bad cycle. But it just goes to show the lengths to which parties go to try and entrench their advantage.
All right, let's talk about the Lone Star State with the 2-seat pickup, Texas. Here is what the Texas congressional map looks like. You notice those competitive seats there down around Houston and a little bit north. Here is where Texas is moving to, the new map. You see now more blue states and that just one streak of yellow becoming more partisan. Colby, Texas is a state that has gained largely because of a gain in its most diverse population. What do these seats mean? What's happening there?
So of the about 4 million new population found in the census in Texas, more than 2 million of that came from Latinos, and Latinos did not gain a new district in this map. And so there's a lot of litigation going on about that particular issue. Now, when you look at the map, it looks like it's pretty fair to Democrats. To your point, there's more blue of the 2 seats that Texas gained. One is going to Democrats around Austin. Republicans are taking the other. But what the Republicans have strategically done is they've shored up their incumbents, and they've also taken away competitive seats. There's only that one competitive seat left. And what that means is that the demographics of Texas continue to change as more Latinos continue to move into the state. They're trying to ensure that those competitive seats wouldn't have turned blue. Now they're safe for Republicans for the better part of the next decade.
Hmm. And of course, both of these states, like many, are going to see a number of lawsuits over all of these maps. In the meanwhile, I also want to ask you all about the who is drawing these maps, the map makers. We've seen something change this year that's really interesting. I want to show our viewers which states have independent redistricting commissions. You sum all that up, as I know you have, David, and more than a quarter of congressional seats are being mapped out by these independent redistricting commissions. David, what do the maps made by those independent commissions look like so far? And what do we think that means in the end?
So Colorado and Montana, both of which are gaining a seat, have commissions. They've passed maps that create districts that could be competitive next year. But commissions are a big reason why Democrats are at a disadvantage here, because a number of blue states like California, New Jersey, Virginia, Colorado, Washington State, they've adopted these reforms, whereas redder states like Texas have not. And so Republicans have the power to draw more than twice as many congressional districts as Democrats, and that's a reason why they're favored for House control next year.
Colby, one thing about these commissions I'm not sure everyone understands. The idea of an independent commission doesn't necessarily mean the map will be nonpartisan. Where are we seeing examples that perhaps the state legislature still is intervening here when perhaps voters wanted something outside of the legislature to act?
Well, one state that we're still waiting to see what they do is New York. New York voters passed what was called an advisory commission. An advisory commission went around the state of independent actors that were put on this commission. They went around New York holding public hearings. They put together maps and they went around holding hearings again on those maps, but it's not binding. And so the maps that they put together, the Democratic legislature in New York with a Democratic governor can just override what they did and draw a map to their advantage. And like Dave said, the Democrats are at such a disadvantage in this process overall, is that you look to places like Illinois and New York and you think, do the Democrats unilaterally disarm, or do they try to draw lines as much to their advantage as possible so that they can try to keep the House?
One last question for you both. Can you talk about the arms race, as I think you called it, David, here? How much money is going into all of this? How much does this process impact who's in charge in our government versus other things we talk about, like voting rights, all of those debates? Can you explain to viewers what's involved and the stakes right now, David?
Yeah, redistricting tends to get less attention than fights over voting procedures, but it's much more consequential to outcomes. That's why the parties are pouring hundreds of millions of dollars into legal fights and strategy over redistricting. Keep in mind that because neither Congress nor the Supreme Court has acted to put up any guardrails against gerrymandering, state Supreme Courts could be the last backstop against the most extreme impulses of partisans who are in charge of drawing maps, essentially choosing their own voters to benefit their own party's electoral prospects.
Colby, what stakes do you see?
Absolutely. I mean, Nancy Pelosi is holding onto the House, like you noted, by a very, very slim margin. And so when you draw these lines, any little bit, you know, a shift of a seat here or a seat there could mean the Republicans take control in 2022. And so there is so much at stake. There are legal fights in almost all of the states that have drawn maps. The Republicans are going to fight in places like Illinois, in places like Maryland and New York, and the Democrats are going to fight everywhere else. And you're going to see this thing play out for years and years and years just to try to get back a seat or two, because that's how fraught this process is.
Not getting a lot of sleep right now, and we appreciate it. David Wasserman and Colby Ipkowitz, thank you both.
Thanks,
thank
Lisa.
You.